Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
Your one-hour conversation with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. To talk to the coach, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Or from outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to Jaguar Central inside Everbank Field. Alongside the head coach for the first Jack Del Rio Show of a new year. It does sound great to hear that, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, having a name on this stadium is huge. Not just for the egos around here, but for the franchise, for the city, for North Florida. It really was a big announcement this afternoon. First of all, how are you?
Great. Doing great. Thank you.
It was going to be a big week for you anyway, but this obviously is a nice start.
What a great way to kick off the week. Yeah. Which you know, we're getting ready to open camp.
Right.
And to have, you know, this announcement, Everbank is going to be on board. It's going to be on the stadium.
All over the stadium.
And, we need that.
Yeah.
You know, we need that. And I think it's a great indication, first of all, that that we are a franchise that plans on being here.
Absolutely.
And we made great efforts with the Team Teal events and all those things all this spring. And then to have something like this right before training camp, just a great message.
Well, you know, when you blend them all, when you blend the My Team Teal and what Carl Cannon and Tony Boselli and all those folks did in getting that going with the stadium naming rights, and now you blend in the start of training camp on Friday.
And I'll tell you, the off season that we had, look, everybody's excited about their off season, but our guys are extremely devoted, dedicated. They work their tails off.
It's too much for the NFL Players Association, huh?
Yeah, yeah. That's right. We worked so hard that some thought it was too hard, but it really was a very successful off season. And all of these things, all of this, it's positive momentum. And energy begets energy. And there's a lot of positive energy in this building right now.
Yeah, this is normally a week, though, that you come bounding in. I mean, you're ready to go Monday morning. You got to wait till Thursday night to get your team.
Right.
But you open practice on Friday.
That's right.
So you've got your staff back here. What are you guys working on this week? I mean, I imagine you have had these plans in place and everything ready to go since OTAs ended.
Yeah, just firming things up. You know, the bulk of the plan is put to rest prior to going on vacation to get a little break, but
it's kind of like Christmas Eve for a coach, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of enjoy the anticipation.
Yeah, you get in and kind of dust things off, and you've had a chance to think about things over the summer, and you go back through your plan and make sure that you have everything how you want it. And, you know, obviously you have to have contingency plans if things happen and what are you going to do. And, you know, we're going to go work with Atlanta, which obviously will require a little logistical.
You haven't done that. In your time here as the coach, you have not done that.
We've not.
What was the difference this summer from previous summers, and what do you hope to get done?
Well, it just is the right fit, I think, for where our team is. Having an opportunity with Mike Smith, who we work together with, you know, here, and Mike being a great guy and somebody that I know what he's going to be about with his team as we go at each other, and we'll go at each other. It'll be intense, but I feel good about just the timing of it. We're ready for it. And we have done everything, really, not a stone has been left unturned. Gene and I have spent this offseason doing everything in our power to make this football team stronger going forward. And it's kind of funny when people say, well, why didn't you before? Well, we just didn't feel it was a good idea before, but we feel great about it right now. And I think you have to be open to change and you have to be willing to do things differently. And certainly starting with me at the top, the paradigm in this building is different because I'm setting a different tone and I have different expectations. And it's gonna trickle down throughout the whole organization.
I sat across from you on Tuesday nights. Now this is going into season number 8. What's different? I know your expectations are always high.
Yeah, they are always
bring
high.
That energy level.
Sure, sure. No, there's a consistency in terms of how I'm going to approach things. But I think, you know, for us, we have really demanded each day when guys enter our building that we do things the Jaguar way, and that means completely devoted to what we're about. Completely dedicated to what we're doing and every day looking to be better. That last year was not good enough. We're not going to go back and have that kind of year because we're going to make a difference and do the things that need to be done to be better going forward. And why not? Why shouldn't we?
Sure.
You know, And so we have that expectation, and we worked at it that way. It's one thing to talk about it. It's another to get out and do it. And our guys have bought in, and every day they've challenged themselves. And I've asked them, you know, look, don't wait for somebody to give you their blessing. Don't expect others to really understand it. Just come in here every day and make the sacrifice and pay the price. And if you see somebody that's not doing it, have the courage to stand up for what you know is right and call them out. And we've had that. And guys are responding. And so the culture is changing in our building for the good.
Everybody points to the quarterback. We've talked about this for years. Too much credit, too much blame, too much focus. But David expressed the same sentiment that you just did. Way, way, way back in May, he talked about being rededicated. I think that was interpreted differently. There were some questions, well, what have you not been dedicated?
That's right.
All these years? Putting it in the context of what you just said, it sounds like there's a buy-in there.
There is a buy-in. But is there anything wrong with somebody saying, hey, I've been giving what I thought was 100%, but upon further evaluation, I recognize I have more to give, and I'm willing to give it to you.
No, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
One, I'm willing to admit that I haven't given it to you.
Right.
Which takes some courage in itself, right? I mean, he has admitted, hey, there's more I can be giving, and then to follow through and give it and do it and demand it not only of himself but of his teammates. To me, that takes terrific courage. That's very, I mean, look, for a coach, for your quarterback who's going to be the leader of this football team to have that message and to be on point with it and to believe it, that's a great sign for our organization. And that's why I'm excited about this year.
All right. We've got a lot to talk about here on the Jack Del Rio Show. Let's step aside for our first break of the evening. When we return to Jaguars Central at Everbank Field, we will talk about players, coaches, strategies, training camp. And you can join us, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. After this.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to Jaguars Central. Say it again, Everbank Field, the big announcement today from Wayne Weaver and the chairman and CEO of Everbank, Rob Clements. Their board of directors on hand, a lot of their officers were here. Everbank Field. City Council still has to approve the deal, but it's done, or at least it appears that it's complete and got done, what, 1 o'clock this morning. So,
yeah, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, they hope to have the signage up quickly.
Yeah,
well, big deals like this require a lot of effort.
Sure.
So let's just talk about the first 2 weeks of training camp leading up to the preseason game. You mentioned Jaguar way different. Is this camp going to be noticeably different in terms of the way that you structure it, the drills that you do, the hitting?
For the trained eye, I don't know. I think anybody that watched our OTA saw a certain intensity that I believe in. There's an urgency about what we're doing. I think there's an efficiency with the offense, what David's directing, what the receivers that he's had a chance to go through quarterback school this offseason with, Dirk Cutter and Mike Shula and Todd Monken and the coaches putting it all together. I think there'll be a freshness to it. Yeah, I think it'll be a little different. But, you know, for somebody that comes out, it's going to be hot. It's going to be players sweating, banging at each other, drilling. It's football. So it just depends on how detailed your eye is and whether you pick things up. I know one thing. If you come to practice and you spend any time around Joe Cullen, our defensive line coach, you will notice a difference. I mean, it is
night and day.
It is the hair on fire type approach. I mean, these guys are flying around, getting after the quarterback, really being disruptive, penetrating, being disruptive in the backfield. That's going to be where we start. That's the foundation of what we're going to be about is up front.
You've got DeAnthony Smith signed. The only player you have left to sign is Tyson Alualu, and clearly going into training camp with your first-round pick is no longer a foregone conclusion in this game. In fact, there's only one first-round pick signed in the entire league right now, and that's Dez Bryant, who was taken, I think, 24th.
So, I'm saying he'll be here.
Really? I was just about to ask you if you thought that...
I'm going to go out there on the limb and say he's going to be here.
Okay.
Here's why.
Okay.
I'm not just being optimistic and hoping for the best. I think he's a level-headed kid. I think we're dealing with an agent that's going to be reasonable. I think we're going to be fair. And I think in the end, all those factors add up to a guy coming in on time and getting ready to have a great rookie year. And that's what I see.
It really breaks the mold because these guys have kind of gotten used to waiting for someone in front of them, in front of it, behind them, so that they don't go out too far on a limb.
And I'm hoping that's the case. Obviously, there's some hope involved, but yeah. I see those factors. I think he's a level-headed, mature young man that understands he's been blessed with this opportunity, and he really feels that way. It's genuine. I mean, this is a
special kid.
He's a special young man, and I really believe that he's going to want to start things and do things right from the very get-go. And I'd be shocked if he's not in on time.
So you've got a new defensive line coach. You've got two young rookie defensive tackles that you're pairing with Terrence Knighton, who had a very good, right? I mean, that's an accurate description of his rookie season.
Oh,
very
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So then you got Derek Harvey, who I know has lost some weight and is now working with Joe Cullen, and you bring in Aaron Kampman. You've got a defensive line that has been retooled.
Totally. Totally revamped. I think, obviously, Derek and Terrence are returning. So you could make an argument and say, okay, only half the line's changed. But it's really been revamped because Derek's a totally different-looking guy. I mean, he has really embraced the strength and conditioning program Coach Richardson put forth. He's embraced it, worked hard at it. He's lean, he's fit, and he's strong. And so he's really embraced the dieting part of it, the work that needs to be put in. He's a different-looking athlete right now. And I think you'll see a difference. And then I think having Aaron Kampman here has really helped the whole group because you're talking about a consummate pro. You're talking about a guy that really understands what it looks like to line up in the NFL and to win and to prepare to do that. And so I think he's had a great time here kind of infecting the group in a positive way.
When do you get to see him on the field? Will you have to go slow with him?
Well, we'll practice him once a day.
I mean,
he'll practice, and he'll start day one. But he'll go once a day. And we'll have about 10 guys that are going to go once a day. And I'll get that list to you.
Yeah, no,
some
I
other
don't
time.
Expect to hear it. Well, that's really the guy that everyone is. He was your marquee free agent signing.
Yeah.
He's, as you said, a proven winner.
Yep.
A guy who a couple years ago led the NFC in sacks and comes at a position that was of need when you finished last season. So
yes.
Everyone's kind of looking and going, what are we going to see from him?
Great fit for what he is and what he brings and the intangibles as well as his talent. He's a great young man, and really pleased to have him on board. I think, you know, putting him in, adding Tyson, a revamped Harvey, and then you're talking about some of the depth that we've added as well.
I was just about to ask you about Larry Hart from yep. Central Arkansas and Austin Lane from Murray State.
And how about Jeremy Mincy, who's healthy again?
He's been around here for a couple of years. He kind of gets left, you know, standing on the side. No one really talks about him.
2 years in a row, he's been snake bit, and it's been minor injuries, a calf and a hand. He broke a hand, and he had a calf strain. So there are two injuries that have sidelined him. We have high hopes for Jeremy. I think he can be a really good football player for us.
How about Hart? He's a guy that a lot of people pointed to. I mean, he's coming in as a rookie from Central Arkansas, so you don't want to put too much pressure on him, but I know there were a lot of people that were excited about him.
Well, excited about what he brings, and we forever have tried to find that undersized pass rusher that can give us something in sub downs and be a factor. We had, I mean, go back and look
Jorge
at the
Cordova.
List. Jorge, Hawkins, Groves. I mean, we've had a host of guys. And I would just say this, where he is different, he is also undersized. That's one thing he has in common. Where he is different is this guy has legitimate power in his lower body. He plays with leverage. So he's a guy that, as Coach Cullen says, he runs on the inside half of his shoes. I mean, he has a knack for bending the corner, and then he plays with power. So it's more like Dumerville is in Denver,
oh, yeah.
who we're going to see in week one, who it's an undersized guy, but he plays with great leverage.
Okay.
And he's powerful.
Well,
it's not, I mean, obviously Dumerville went on to be a Pro Bowl player for
right.
them, but I'm not saying he's going to be that. We'll see what he is. But he has those traits. He's a powerful leverage rush guy. He's not a speed guy that has to win with speed and run around the edge.
Well, a guy who's excited about him is none other than Jeff Loggeman. You know, and he knows the position having played it. He wouldn't stand there and speak of a guy that he thinks has potential unless he saw it. So it's not just, hey,
That's
that
right.
guy looks good. I mean, people who know understand that the guy's got potential.
He has potential. He has a knack. He has an ability to lean and rush. And then, like I said, he's not just a speed guy.
Right.
Because the speed guys, okay, if he doesn't win around the edge, what can he do? Well, this is a guy that can go around the edge, but then he can come through you with power, and that's where he has a chance to be different.
Can't wait to see. More to come after this quick break on the Jack Del Rio Show. You're listening to Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show from Everbank Field. It's been a number of years since we've said anything other than Jacksonville Municipal Stadium, so it's nice to be able to say it. Say congratulations.
Say it one more time.
Everbank Field. You know,
I like it.
And I asked Rob Clements, the chairman CEO, you know, as we were wrapping up the press conference, why field instead of stadium? And his response was pretty simple. We just thought it sounded cool. And it does.
Yeah, and they gave it a lot of thought.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they did. You know, the one thing I noticed was that group that came from Everbank, you know, when you combine it with the Jaguars corporate folks over there, this was a well-orchestrated, and as Wayne said, interacting like that, putting two groups together in a partnership takes time and patience and a lot of skill.
It does take that. Some brilliant minds, you know, just listening to them respond to questions and whatnot, you could tell they're very sharp guys. And it's just great to see. I thought there was a terrific synergy. You're talking about a partnership.
Yeah.
It's really what it is.
Absolutely.
And for them to embrace the football team and the city and say, hey, we're here. We're local. We're proud to put our name on the stadium. Look forward to going out and winning a bunch of games this fall and being a big part of it. And that was great. I think we all got a lift from that.
Yeah, I know we did. I know when I heard this for the first time, I thought that is a huge moment for this franchise. Huge for the football team, huge for the franchise, huge for the fans, the city, the whole nine yards. Dude, congratulations to Mr. Weaver, to Mackie Weaver, to all the people that were involved in this, Bill Prescott, whoever it was. Dan Edwards, I know, was involved in the last week in making sure everything happened. So congratulations to all of them to have this thing done. They certainly earned the right to smile like they did. So
smile they did.
Oh, yeah, they just smile. They're, somewhere they're having a nice dinner, maybe opening a good bottle of wine and celebrating with the folks from Everbank. What's a big week for them?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about your second-year guys. I know you thought that last year's draft class were contributors, all of them. I mean, some guys got hurt. Jarrett Diller didn't make it out of New York without tweaking his ankle. So you didn't see him the rest of the year. But you had guys from Eugene Monroe all the way down to Rashard Jennings last year who were impactful players. And when I saw them in OTAs, my eyes kept being drawn to some of those second-year guys. And the way that they were contributing, they looked bigger, stronger, faster, leaner, like they belonged more than they did it a year ago.
Oh, they definitely belong. I think, you know, when you look at what occurred last year, we were able to really hit a home run in terms of identifying young men that could join our football team, join our community, and become the type of players that will embrace the Jaguar way. And they have. And they've all taken the experience they had last year. And a lot of them played a bunch. I mean, you know, our two rookie tackles started all year. Terrence Knighton started all year.
Derek Cox started all year.
Derek Cox started all year. And then Mike Thomas and other guys got a lot of playing time. And so they're able to take that experience, build on it, get stronger, faster, fitter this offseason, and go into this sophomore campaign ready to really help our football team win games.
You know, maybe it was because Rasheen Mathis was not there during OTAs, but Derek Cox looked, you know, to the casual observer, like he had a tremendous offseason.
He did. He did. He played very well for us. And we're certainly glad we have him. And then there was a young man named Don Carey that burst upon the scene and had a real fine spring. And then Scotty Starks rebounded from his injury of last year. So it's like getting another guy there. Yeah. A bunch of guys, you know, Michael Coe responded, Will Middleton. So we had some depth in the secondary that was it was showing, you know, throughout the OTAs that it's going to be a very competitive group for roster spots and roles.
Those were the corners. How about your safeties? I know that's an area that a lot of people are looking at and saying, what are they going to do there?
Well, the way I look at it coming out of OTAs, and this is insight you only get on this show. Right.
Absolutely.
Here. Just wanting to lay that out.
Keep
there.
It real.
All right. Gerald Alexander was clearly the best safety. I mean, he was the best, most dependable guy on the field all spring. And he played well last year when he stayed on the field.
Right.
So it really comes down to the battle that I see shaping up. I think Sean Considine has done a great job. And as a backup special teams player, is special. I think he's a great young man. The guys that are really trying to determine their spots are Reggie Nelson and Anthony Smith. Those are the guys. They both have started. Reggie started a long time here. Anthony Smith has bounced around and
Pittsburgh
started.
And St. Louis.
And they're a little bit different. Anthony's a little bit of a hitter. Instinctive. Reggie's more of a ball hawking, rangy free safety. And Gerald gives us the ability to go either way. So I really think that's going to be a battle that's going to be fun to watch in camp. Does the Reggie show up that we need to play at a high level as a starter in base and sub, or is Anthony Smith that guy? And do we slide Gerald over there? So I think that'll be an interesting battle to see at safety is exactly how that shakes out.
How is Reggie? I heard he had a pretty good offseason.
He did.
Worked hard. Did all the things you asked him to do.
He gained a little weight and he got a little stronger. I think he'll be more consistent in everything he's doing. He's really – the thing I always talk about is a guy giving himself an opportunity to improve. Well, he's worked in the weight room. He's worked in the classroom. He worked hard on the field. He's applying himself every day. And obviously he felt a little embarrassed over not playing better last year. And he said, Coach, I've never been in this situation. I've always been one of the better players on the field.
Right.
And he was kind of searching. And so we'll see. We'll see how it goes. He'll get an opportunity to compete for that spot that he wants so badly.
It's not getting knocked down. It's getting back up.
That's right.
All right. We take a break. Return with more of the Jack Del Rio Show after this quick timeout. You're listening on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. Time for a couple of phone calls. We haven't gotten many of those in this evening, so let's start, Coach.
You got to start with Dave.
Yeah, we ended the season with Dave. If you remember, he was our last call of last season.
Well, I mean, he's hitting off something that's become a tradition here. So go ahead, Dave. What do you have on your mind?
Evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I tell you what, you have got one tried, true, and teal Jaguars fan who is bubbling right now about this team, about this season. It's a great time to be a Jaguars fan, and I can't wait. One thing I just wanted to chime in on, Derek Harvey, Derek Harvey came out early. He didn't have a lot of football under his belt. He's just now the same age, I believe, as Eugene Monroe in his second year, going into his third or fourth year. I'm not exactly sure, but anyway, I expect that guy to step up and have a big year. But, Coach, I couldn't be more excited. I'm looking forward to coming out this weekend. I wanted to find out if you knew exactly when the Oklahoma drill was going to be. I hope Tyson's able to make it out to that. That'll be an awesome thing. And I'm looking forward to it. Let's kick some ass this year. Go Jaguars. Thanks, Coach.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate you calling.
I guess the president said it back during the oil spill, so now everybody can say it, huh? That's what we've gone through, right, Dave? Come on. A little decorum on the air here.
Dave was excited.
I know. I'm just kidding.
And we appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Call. Dave, the Oklahoma drills will be Sunday evening.
Ooh, it's marquee.
It's the first padded practice. It's always been. I usually allow Vic Ketchman to provide a little theater.
I mean, usually.
I think we'll stay.
Is
with
he
it.
Okay. I just was.
I think we'll stay with it. Vic's been pretty good.
He has a sense for the dramatic.
Yeah, he's got a sense for the dramatic, and he understands that it's really one in the trenches. That's what it's all about. And he'll always give me a couple suggestions, and I typically will take a suggestion or two and put it in. It's usually something I'm looking forward to anyway.
Do you know what they are? I mean, other than Vic's, I mean, are they in your head?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I just want to make sure if you'd finalize.
I'm giving it some thought. I don't wait until I hear from Vic, but we will spend a little time leading up to the Sunday night practice, and we'll have our Oklahoma drill, and it's a great time because really, I mean, you can talk about wanting to throw it, run it, any way you want to play football. It's going to come down to people in the trenches getting it done. And it's not the sexy guys outside that are catching and throwing. It's the big guys in the trenches that are getting it done. And that's where the last 2 years where Gene has really taken this football team and rebuilt the defensive and offensive lines, which is the foundation. So I'm excited about the fact that our foundation is solid and we're moving forward.
355-NFL1. Dave, we appreciate the phone call. Let's grab Mike, who joins us on the south side of Jacksonville. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Good evening, Coach. Good luck this season.
Thank you, Mike. How you doing tonight?
Everything's good, sir. Hey, I would like to beg of you one question for the Jaguars, because myself and I and my family are diehard Jaguar fans. But over the last 5 or 6 years, what I've noticed, we play a lot of great tight ends in our division, and we have over the league, but we don't seem to ever hit the tight end off the line of scrimmage. Well, are we going to change our scheme to where we hit the tight ends?
Yes.
Like Clark and those guys that just don't let them run free. We seem to let them run free too much.
Yeah, running free too much is really, I would say the last couple of years, we've probably gotten away a little bit from some of the tight coverage that really I know and am known for, and we're going to get back to that. We're going to be more of an attacking front. We're going to play more tight coverage, and there is going to be disruption on routes and routes, you know, that offenses are trying to run. We don't want to let them just run like they're on Skelly and air. And that's what you've seen a little bit. And so, you know, knocking a tight end around and making him restart and readjust his route and throwing some of the timing off, that's a huge part of what we want to be about.
Well, I look forward to seeing that this year. Thanks a lot, Coach, and good luck.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call.
Appreciate the phone call. We move along. Greg is out at the beach. Hello, Greg. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good afternoon. Let's go Everbank Field. Pretty excited about that announcement today. Hey, Coach, just a quick question. You know, with all the work that the community has done throughout the off season around building support for the team and season ticket sales starting to take off and really some momentum being done with the community, how's that trickled down to the team? And can you kind of give us some insight on, you know, all the work that we've done as a community to build some excitement around the football team and increase in the season ticket sales? How's that trickled down and affected the group?
Well, I can tell you, it definitely impacts our football team, and our guys right now are jazzed. I mean, they're fired up because they feel it. I mean, you know, we're human beings.
Absolutely.
I mean, we feel it, and the community right now is abuzz, and the Jaguars are. We understand the love that's out there. I mean, because people are really, I guess they've had to do some soul searching in terms of, hey, are we an NFL town? We are an NFL town. People are standing up loud and proud. Boldly, and I think the guys feel that, and I see nothing but excitement in terms of the way our guys are feeling about the way the community's embracing this football team and the way we're going to go forward. So, Greg, to answer your question, I think we absolutely do feed off the energy of the crowd and the community and the efforts that have been underway, and I think that'll bode well for this season.
Starting on Friday morning with practice at 10:45. Let's take another break. Back with more of the Jack Del Rio Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show, taking your calls here in this segment. 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351 from WOKV and Jaguar Central inside Everbank Field. Justine's on the south side. Hey, Justine, how are you tonight? Are you there?
Say that we've been seeing tickets since the very beginning, and we're so excited for the season. And I just had one question for you. I was just wondering if what's the one thing that you look forward to know that it was a successful offseason?
All right, Justine, thank you for the question. Thanks for the call. I would say one thing. That'd be tough for me to grab one thing. Let me just rattle off a few. I think, first of all, we had our football team. We asked for 90% plus participation in the workouts and the OTAs. We had everybody, save for one guy who was holding out for contract reasons.
Right.
So we had everybody here and giving us that. So that in itself, all right, is successful. I mean, that's – first of all, I put that up against anybody in the league. I think it's more than anybody in the league is giving. The next thing is in terms of the commitment level, not just being here, but the commitment level that they're bringing every day. And as I was saying earlier in the show, our guys are extremely motivated. They're hungry and they're urgent about everything they're doing. And they're challenging each other every day when they walk in the doors. They're challenging each other to be at their best. And so there's a culture that has really changed in our building. It's one of, you know, just getting by is not cool. Giving everything you have is cool. And so when the team embraces that notion, I mean, together a group of men can accomplish special things. And that's what we're about. That's what we want to be about. That's what we're going to be about. And it can't be me talking about it. It's got to be the players embracing that and understanding the power in that. And I think, you know, when you talk about the commitment level, they're here, the work that's been put in, the dedication, the devotion, and you're talking about a football team that has worked as hard as any team out there, I'd say it was an extremely successful offseason and gives us a chance this fall to do some special things.
355-NFL-1. Justine, we appreciate the call. Let's go ahead and take our next break and get back on track with that and return with more with head coach Jack Del Rio after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to Everbank Field. Brian Sexton, the head coach of the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio. Just a casual stroll through an hour here, getting ready for training camp Saturday. Pardon me. You started Friday this year. You've started on Saturday in years past, but you've got your first preseason game on a Friday.
We actually start Thursday with the reporting.
Right. They can report 15 days in advance.
And we'll, you know, we'll check them in and have meetings that night.
Right. 10:45 Friday.
Everybody that wasn't here will have to do a conditioning test. So
that's going to be a real short roster on the conditioning test. My guess is he'll be in good condition because he always has been.
There'll be one guy there.
One guy. All right. So 10:45 and 7 o'clock on Friday, under the lights, obviously, is optimum time to get some work done. Have you found that over the years that you've done that, that it has paid off?
Well, the biggest thing it does allows us to avoid the afternoon thundershower. I mean, the lightning.
Right.
That's really all we're after. It's not the heat we're avoiding. It's not the rain. I don't mind the rain. It's the lightning. So, you know, Wayne allowed us to put the lights in. Now we went this year with the third grass field.
How's that going to work?
Oh, it's going to be great. We'll be, first of all, the fans will love it because we'll be closer to the fans. We'll want to work on that field. And it'll be cooler. I mean, that the one thing about the turf, it's so doggone hot.
Yeah.
And I just really didn't ever want to work my football team, you know, on that surface. I just felt like grass was superior, and the grass surface to the artificial turf nowadays is not a big difference in terms of what cleat you wear. And so, if you're not getting used to it because of the cleat you're going to wear, why not just be on the grass?
By the way, and the fans did not see this, but the amount of effort that it took to put that grass field in. I mean, it's not like you just roll down.
Wasn't that much effort?
It was a pretty big job. You didn't have the use of it.
I mean, you don't work for that crew. I mean, golly, yeah, it was a lot.
Oh, man. I don't know that a lot of folks understand just what
goes into putting it. It's the drainage.
So that you got it all year long.
And, they redid our game fields this year. The drainage had really severely slipped over the years.
It looks magnificent.
You know, the monster truck deals and all that stuff, and them, the Super Bowl coming here, and they put all that dirt down, and it was clay, and we have a sand-based field, so it drains. And we weren't draining well. So, you know, we had a lot of slippage last year, so we'll be on a much better surface this year.
And it looks dramatic. I mean, it's just brilliant out there right now.
Yeah.
Of course, with the announcement today, everybody got a chance to see it. 355-NFL-1-355-6351. We have gone almost this entire show without saying the name Maurice Drew, which is amazing because when people think about the Jaguars, that's who they think about the most. Saw him a couple weeks ago at a kid's birthday party. He's got a new one. He looks happy, content, and rested and relaxed and ready to go. You know, for a guy who took a pounding last year.
No, he did not take a pounding. He dishes it out.
Okay, I'm sorry. His body.
No. Don't say that.
All right. You say it.
He's a great young man. He's one of our better football players. He's terrific in the community. And, you know, we're excited to get a look at him. And again, you know, as we go through camp, you know, he's one of the guys. There are a host of guys, but we want to make sure we get them to the regular season. And so he's not a guy we need to determine whether or not he's got the heart of a champion, whether or not he's willing to pay the price. Those are things that we'll have to determine about other players.
A couple years ago when you guys were at the top of the NFL in rushing, you had Fred Taylor and Maurice sharing the load. Mm-hmm. Who's going to share some of the load with him this year? Is Jennings? You know, is Deji Kareem? I mean, what?
He'll get a chance. Deji will get a chance to compete for that. But I would anticipate Rashad Jennings, who came on strong last year.
Yeah.
I would think with the way he's able to pick up the blitz, with the way he's able to run the football and catch the ball out of the backfield, that he'll get more touches this year.
Well, we got a taste of it, that 28-yard touchdown run against the Chiefs
here.
It just showed you what, you know, he's a big guy. 6'1", 240, runs well.
Speed.
Yeah, I mean, he can really run.
Good straight arm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I put together a little highlight tape for the guys Thursday night, and that runs on there. Yeah, some special plays from 2009 that we want to see more of in 2010.
We need one more break. Let's go ahead and take it now. When we return, we'll wrap up the first Jack Del Rio show of a new season here from Everbank Field on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with the head coach. And your old buddy, Kennedy Pola. Boy, he stirred the flames up in Tennessee,
didn't
he?
Oh, I knew you were going to go there.
Well, how can you not?
Our listeners have to appreciate you taking me there. You know, that's
your buddy.
It's the Jack Del Rio Show, but you're still going to take me there. All right.
It's hard not to. Come on. He left here sideways in January, right? He left here sideways to go be a running backs coach at a division opponent, rival, no less. And then he ended up getting what he wanted, which was he desperately wanted to be a coordinator.
That's correct. What you said is exactly correct.
Now, how difficult, though, must it have
been for
him? I wish
him the best out at Southern Cal.
Of course you do. For purely selfish reasons.
And it doesn't hurt my feelings that, you know, he happened to leave a division opponent
right.
high and dry late in the deal.
If he can't be with you, it's a win-win.
Yeah. I wish him the best. I mean, obviously he's going to a program that I feel good about. Not good about what's happened lately,
sure.
But I feel good about in terms of it being a special place for me and what it was early in my life. I know he desperately wants to be a coordinator and eventually get an opportunity to be a head coach, and I think that's what's driving everything.
How difficult is it to lose your running backs coach? You know, the week before training camp opens.
Well, you know, I would not want to have to go through it, but if you do, I think you adjust the best you can and deal with it.
Well, certainly. You've got a great player in Chris Johnson. That makes it easier.
Yeah, I suppose. But, you know, you work awfully hard with your staff to put things together and put them in place. And I certainly understand, you know, where they're coming from in terms of not really being very happy about that.
Yeah, I think there's a lawsuit already. Yeah, the week before training camp, that must not have been a very pleasant conversation between Coach Pola and Coach Fisher.
But I'm not sure they had one. I think that's part of the problem.
Oh, the drama. No drama here in Jacksonville. The only drama today was the fact that the Jaguars and their fans could stick their chest out a little bit, feel good about themselves as they start training camp with the folks from Everbank. God bless them.
Way to rock it, man.
For coming in and stepping up. And it's great. It's a great partnership, marriage, however you want to classify it, because it's a local company in Jacksonville that is stepping up to the plate. So to Rob Clements and that whole crew, thank you. Congratulations. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, absolutely. And very excited. And as I said over and over today, it's just another positive thing. You know, we've had so many positive things occur. The next thing we've got to do, we've got a few days to do it, get Tyson signed.
You said you were optimistic about it.
I said we're going to get him done.
Okay.
He's going to be here.
Training camp opens Friday morning, so you got to have him here by Thursday night.
He's got to be here at that first practice.
All right. Is he in Hawaii or is he here?
I hope he's.
We better be somewhere close.
We've got to get a flight close, right?
Coach, congratulations.
It's going to be a great year, man.
Start. Absolutely.
All right.
That's the head coach, Jack Del Rio. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.